The reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 36. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way, where the paths meet, she takes a stand. Besides the gates leading into the city, at the entrances she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasures full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before the deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overlap its command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favour from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death.
Thank you, Norm. You might think, gee, that's a bit heavy. Well, it is. It's truth, and it's truth that's worth considering. For those of you who take advantage of the opportunity that you're given, sometimes not early enough, most times when it's not early enough in the week to have the Bible readings that we'll be referring to on Sunday. But I know there are folks that talked with me about that and appreciate the fact that you do have the scriptures to read. And you might have read these this week and thought, what on earth have they got to do with one another? But I just want to say that, as Jeff said, we have the privilege of knowing God who is big. And I think sometimes in our society we would be aware that in the community that we live in, there is a very clear and strong attempt to sideline God. There's a very strong attempt to say you can write God out of the story, because we've worked out our own story and we can determine where we will go. And we live in a society like that. We can have all sorts of ideas and ideologies, and you can believe and you can have faith. If that works for you, well, that's nice. But basically, you needn't take God seriously. Well, I want to turn that on its head, because we do need to take God seriously. And when men try not to take life seriously, as it says here, this last verse of this, the way the Proverbs are outlined in chapter and verses, this last verse that was read, all whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death. But the word of God says that the wages of sin is death. And people are struggling in that lostness. The community that we live amongst struggle in that lostness. And yes, the job in reality is too big. But I want to say to you, we serve a big God. And that needs to be back in focus. And even though the world might say you can write your God out of the equation, that cannot happen. And I want to say that the Word of God makes it really clear to us. And I want to read out of Psalm 24. It says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live on it. And guess what? That includes you. And I don't know whether you're an Arthur Stace that grew up in really hard circumstances in a family that didn't love you, or whether you've grown up with perhaps some of the greatest privileges and responsibilities in the world, like Queen Elizabeth. But the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live on it. For he founded it on the seas, and he established it upon the waters. And who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. And I've got to ask you today, do you know God as your Saviour? Do you know the big God that did the biggest thing to bring you back from death and hell to be his, to have vindication and to have salvation? Because whether you've accepted that or not, you are accountable to your owner, to your maker. Such is the generation who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. This is not a God of this generation or that generation. This is God of all generations. This is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God who cares about his creation. And then in verses 7 to 10, it says these interesting things, and I find it a bit hard to get my head into this space. I think from a fairly structural point of view, coming from a building background, it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Lift up your heads, O you gates. I'm not repeating myself. The scriptures are. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Stop and think about that for a while. That's what Selah means. There's two Selahs in this psalm. Two little pauses, interludes, where we're supposed to stop and think. Well, if you need the heads up on why I've chosen these readings, every one of them speak about the greatness of the Lord. There are many places that we could turn and read this, and some of the testimony that we've heard today, really all the testimony we've heard today, speaks about the greatness of the Lord. Whether you're in a queue of about, do my maths, 43 people who are looking at a house, You can see the greatness of the Lord, as William and Jen have testified to. Whether you're in a situation where abuse has been heaped on you again and again and again, you can know the greatness of the Lord. When you commit yourself to Him and you trust Him and you step back into the situation where it is of great risk and you find that the Lord is big, He is bigger than the situation. Whether you're perplexed because of situations of deepest concern, and He tells you to wait. And I'll tell you in a bit. Well, it's worth waiting for, isn't it, Trevor? Because when He tells you in a bit, it's worth waiting for. Or whether you've been keen and as anything for months and months and months to go and care for people, and a random phone call comes in and your name is passed on and your details are passed on, and then you step into a completely unknown situation, but you drive towards it because you care. And you go and you find yourself spending half a day with an old man that desperately needs you. Then you find that God is big. He is the Lord of glory, the Lord who is strong and mighty, and we need to remember that. And I don't know what your story is. You haven't stood up and told it this morning. I don't know what the struggles or the concerns or the circumstances or the unfairness of what is happening to you. But I want to tell you, don't forget that the Lord is the King of glory, and the Lord is strong and mighty. And He is not sidelined. He is not written out of the equation, even if men try to do that. The reason that we read through Proverbs is I remember many years ago, and I shared the same experience. I think Gary testified last week when he was a young believer, he would sit and he would read Proverbs of a morning. Did you say that, said that, didn't you, Gary, last week? Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure you said about reading Proverbs when you're a new believer. Jared, that's right, another good guy. As a young man doing my apprenticeship and up before everybody else in the household, and I would sit there, and I wanted to be a wise man. I didn't want to be a fool. I'd sit there, have breakfast by myself. I'd just read through Proverbs. It was one of the parts of the scripture I just read through. I remember first time I read Proverbs 8, I think, that's talking about Jesus. You know, as you read that and you read it again, who was it that was with God in creation? Who was this craftsman at his side? Who was the one that was rejoicing? Would you look up Webster's dictionary and go, what's wisdom mean? I think it's a lot deeper than that. I would say read it again. See if this isn't Solomon actually prophetically speaking about the King of glory, the Lord Jesus himself, who was with the Father in the beginning. And you know what it says about him? He says counsel in verse 14, counsel and sound judgment are mine. If you want counsel and sound judgment, you seek the Lord. I have understanding and power. That's what the Word of God says. What does it say in the introduction to Jesus as John the Baptist speaks? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, though all things were made. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This is Jesus. This is the Lord strong and mighty, who was with the Father in the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 1, in the first verses there, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir over all things. Sounds like an ownership thing, doesn't it? Heir over all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Who is this King of glory? the Lord strong and mighty, who sustains all things, is sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. My friends, I want to say to you, you can live on his every word. I want to say that he will provide for you counsel and sound judgment because they're his. He has understanding and power. And I don't know if you sense, and I don't know even if you come desiring God to speak to you, but God in his grace does. And I believe we need, we used a song last week from Casting Crowns, the voice of truth tells me a different story. Man, we need to be hearing a different story. A different story to what is thrown at us again and again and again. Because it's only when you know the King of Glory, it's only when you know that he is the Lord strong and mighty that you will stand in these days. I want to ask you the question, are you recognizing? I want to ask you the question, are you trusting this King of Glory? I want to ask you the question, are you living, having confidence in this King of Glory? Are you relying on him? Because you probably are getting a clue from the people who have told their stories today, those who are prepared and those who just responded at Daniel's invitation, that you can have confidence in him. We need to be reminded of that. The one who is the author, the one that has authorship over this world, is the one that has authority over it. And so he's giving you today and every word, his every word opportunity. You can take hold of it. You can live on it. You can know the one who is sustaining everything right now by his powerful word. You can know the one who would provide purification for your sins. He either has provided it for you and you've accepted it, or you're still yet to take that step. But God himself, in the person of his son Jesus, went deliberately to a cross and bore your sin and your shame. He suffered your separation from God so that you could be forgiven. And that's an amazing thing. You could be one of those people that can ascend the hill of the Lord because you've been given clean hands and a pure heart by Jesus. In my building days, I have had the opportunity of easing a few doors. Now, my brother Tony would understand what it is to ease a door. You ease a door when the thing is stuck at the bottom or stuck at the top or stuck at the bottom or stuck at the side. Probably one of the most dramatic experiences I've had at easing doors was after the floods at Ningen many, many years ago when the kids were very little. We were travelling west. We stopped there with the bus and out with the tools. And I got the job of easing doors all day. Houses had been flooded. There was a watermark inside everybody's house at about that level. The doors had all swollen. The door jams had swollen. The frames had swollen. And I had to go through house after house and just ease doors. They were jammed. I had to plane them down one side at least, just to make them so when people could go back into their houses, they could open and close their doors. And it was a hard job and a smelly job, but it had to be done, and I just went from house to house and did it all day. It says here, "Lift up your head, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." Well, those doors in those houses were hard to get working again. And sometimes you will encounter hinges that have been seized up and all rusty. And you've got to somehow ease that and make that so it will open again. Let me say, the hardest door to open is the door of our hearts. Because our hearts can get so stuck and so stuck in places that we doggedly stay in. And we have not made place for the King of Glory to come in. This is a very interesting picture. I don't know whether David thought that the lintels were too low. I don't know whether the stonework wasn't great enough. But he's saying something about these gates. These gates have got to be flung open wide to make way for the living God. I don't know whether he was thinking about the procession with the Ark of the Covenant and all the splendor attached to that. I don't know what he exactly, different scholars would say many different things about what David could be saying, but he's saying the gates need to be opened up because the King of Glory is coming. I've got to ask you, is your heart wide open to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's a very serious word that's spoken, talk about heavy, there's a serious word that is spoken to the church in the book of Revelation. And Jesus is speaking to them and saying, look, I know what you're like. I know your deeds. I know that you're neither hot or cold. You probably think you're just doing fine. You probably think you're okay. You probably think you've actually done quite well. He's saying, I wish you were one of the other. So because of your lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth. And I don't need a thing. Sounds like Australia. She'll be right. It's only about 30 years ago that Simon wrote a poem about that. I still remember it, Simon. She'll be right, mate. But you do not realize that you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Such is the love of God. Even to complacent people, even to people who think, she'll be right, I'm okay. God wants something to happen to the door of your heart. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be in earnest and repent. There needs to be a serious turnaround. And then he says these words that have become quite famous. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And talk about gates or doors that need easing. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now that is just the most amazing thing. These are people that know better. These are people that should have been doing better. These are people that have known the marvelous truth of who Jesus is and yet have thought, no, I'm okay. And Jesus is on the outside, knocking on the door. So I'm here. Do you know that I'm here? Are you hearing my voice? Because if you open the door to me, I'll come in. I'll come into the complacent place. I'll come into the I think I'm all right place. And I'll save you. So with a bunch of young people on Friday from the secondary college, and we were down there near the entrance, and there's a little brick building, and I think I heard a couple of them say, is it a church? It's actually a brick powder magazine that was there for storing rockets. And I said, no, mate, it's not a church, but it was there to save people. And the teacher who knew who I was, he knew. He said, he made a couple of smart comments anyway. God is in the business of saving people. And you're either saved or you're not saved. You've either let him in or you haven't. You've either heard his voice and responded or you're ignoring him. But I want to say in this time and in this era that we need to be a people who take notice of the King of Glory, and the gates need to be opened up that he would come in. He doesn't force his way in to your life. It's an amazing thing. The one that has the authority, absolute authority, would respect your decision. I think we do need to hear a different story. I think we do need to be hearing the voice of truth. And I do think, and I do know, that we have to be responding to the one who is in charge. On Friday morning at prayer meeting here, as I think we'd heard the night before, that the announcement that Queen Elizabeth had died, and the little that I've read and found out about her over the years, it seemed to me that she was a woman who confessed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, what a marvellous thing for her. This woman that had all this pomp and responsibility and ceremony and majesty, in a sense, thrust upon her. How wonderful it is that Queen Elizabeth gets to be ushered into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and gets to come before him because she has faith and trust in Christ and what he has done, that he has forgiven her for her sin. And she gets to come before the King of Glory and say, I'm so pleased that you're the King of Glory. And I don't have to wear a crown. You are the one that is worthy to wear the crown. What a marvellous thing. It might be Barry's mum or my mum. Or your mum, or Barbara, perhaps gets to show Elizabeth around as equals, who are all grateful, unspeakably grateful for their Saviour. How wonderful is that? She doesn't have to be a, in all eternity, she doesn't have to be known as Queen Elizabeth. She's just absolutely grateful to King Jesus. I pray that the doors of our lives would be wide open and that Jesus would have his rightful place in your heart, in your life. I pray that the King of Glory truly has come in, because he is strong and mighty, and you can be confident in him. Amen.